burden with sin and shame. Till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice. And I entered the haven. Tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe and home. I yielded myself to His tender embrace and faith. Taking hold of His word, my fetters fell off, and I anchored my soul. The haven of rest is mine.
Good to see everyone this morning, and we return to the book of Romans. And we are in the second chapter of the book of Romans. And the second chapter of the book of Romans is about... Boy, you were doing so good. Tell me where we are and everything, but... Chapter 1, if you remember, talks about the pagans. Now, everybody points at pagans. You know, it's easy for us to point down to Brushy Mountain to the pagans. It's easy for us to point in the paper at those whose photograph is in there at the pagans. At those we know who are not doing the right thing. After all, we're church people. I mean, if anybody recognizes pagans, it's church people. That's how the Jews felt, folks. That's why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. He was a church person. And he didn't like them Gentiles because he knew if he went and preached to the Gentiles, God would save them. And he didn't want them saved because he was a church person. and they were pagans. So he begins in chapter 2 by talking to the church people, to the Jews, the religious, the Pharisee, the Sadducee. They were all Sadducee, just like we are without Christ. We're of all men most miserable. So he begins by saying, why are you pointing your finger at them for doing these things which you know they're doing when you know you're doing the same thing? And their answer would be, well, I'm not doing the same thing. You remember I gave you the parable of the publican and the Pharisee that went to the temple last week? And the Pharisee stood and said, I'm glad I'm not like that person. I'm a churchgoer. I keep the law. I tithe. I fast. I do a lot of things. Boy, I'm glad I'm not like him. No, he should have said, Lord, I'm just like him. There's no difference between him and me. Oh, I ought to be doing what he's doing. What was he doing? Oh, he had his head down pounding on his chest. Lord, I'm glad I'm not. No, he didn't say, I'm glad I'm not like that guy over there, did he? He wasn't worried about that guy over there. You know, our problem is we shouldn't be worried about the guy over there. We ought to be worried about us. Huh? I mean, after all, Judy's not going to stand at the white throne judgment seat for Doris. Doris is not going to stand at the white throne judgment seat for Judy. You say, Tom, neither one of them's going to be there. I know that. My point is this. If you are there, it'll be because of you, not because of someone else. And the reason I mention the white throne judgment is because who's going to be there? Who? Well, see, I can't ever get this congregation in here, this class of mine, this group of people, these I can't ever get you to speak up. It's like you only wanted her to hear that.
Say it loud, John.
The lost.
Thank you. Now see, Mr. Williams back there heard you. Otherwise, he's back there saying, what did he say? It's the lost at the white throne judgment, right? What do you want to be there? No. Well, no. But neither did the Jews. But their problem was they didn't think they'd be there. So he says, why are you judging these pagans when you're doing the same thing? He says, I'll tell you this in verse 3, and I'm just telling you what's in there. I don't expect you to have this memorized, but I expect you to know what's in chapter 2 by now. He says, I'm going to tell you this. That the judgment of God is according to truth. What does that mean? Well, it means according to that book. And that book says, for all have sinned and come short. He didn't say all Gentiles have sinned and come short. He didn't say all Jews have sinned and come short. Bless God, he didn't say there's Jews or Gentiles, either one. He said, for all have sinned and come short. Well, if you're short, you're not there. Short means, got any good carpenters in here? And I'm not talking about these people that think they can do anything. There's a saying from a carpenter. No, it ain't got nothing to do with a short putt. Well, a short putt won't go in. 99% of all putts that come up short won't go in. No, it's 100%. There's a saying with a carpenter. You measure twice and cut once. You don't measure once and cut twice because you're going to be wasting a whole lot of stuff. So measure twice, and then you won't have to cut but once. You won't come up short. So that's the idea in chapter 2. Because he says in the third verse, he says, what do you think for 1 minute that you are going to escape? That means get out of, get away from the judgment of I got to tell you, folks, there's a whole lot of churchgoers that are going to find out the hard way they can't escape the judgment of God simply because they were too proud to admit they weren't right. They're a good neighbor. They're a good person. They wouldn't hurt anybody. They wouldn't steal from you. A lot of them wouldn't even lie to you. They're a good person. Good people go to hell, folks. You say, well, I thought it's for bad people. Well, good people think their good's bad. Not your standard. My standard, listen, this, if it's up to me, I know a lot of good people that I wouldn't send to hell. But it's not up to me. God has set the standard, folks. Not Tom. Not you. It's my job to do what? Make sure that I meet the standard. So he says, you think you're going to escape? He says, why do you despise? And I'm about to where we finished last week. He says, why do you despise? Why do you think so lightly of? Three things. Don't look. I want you to know them. I don't want you to have to look in your Bible to get this because if you know it, I don't want you to have it memorized, but if you know it, you can share it. When you're out talking to someone, you don't have time to say, let me run in the car and get my Bible. I want to show you something. But if you know it, you can say, please don't think lightly of the goodness and the forbearance and the long-suffering of God. Don't you know that the goodness of God is what brings you to repentance? Please don't think lightly of those things. Don't take the goodness of God for granted. Don't take the fact that you're still lost and God's not killed you yet. Don't take that lightly. Don't take the fact that he's done that for years. We had a gentleman in here last week, remember? And I went down the age thing. And I said, anyone 90? And he said, pretty close. Well, I don't know how old he was. You know, he might be like some in here that's up there, but don't look like they're up there. You know, I can't tell anymore. Now with me, I can tell. I look in the mirror and I say, okay, I'll tell him you're up there. But you know, and I said to him what? Do you anybody remember what I said to him? Well, I'm glad I remember because you all can't remember anything. Huh? No, he said he was saved at an old age, remember? And I said, brother, that's a miracle. It's a miracle. Why? I'm going to show you here in just a second. I'm going to show you why it's such a great miracle. My dad, and I think even Dan, I think even then led a couple of men in their 90s to the Lord. Now, if you don't think that's a miracle, you're badly mistaken. Because the hardness of their heart has at that time has got so hard. The Bible says you're seared over with a hot iron. Y'all know what that means. You're just about closed up. But he says, don't harden yourself. And remember, I gave you a word for that. I gave you the Greek word for that. That where we get our English word. We get our English word from that sclerosis. Arterial sclerosis. What that means is your arteries are getting... That's not a bad thing. Well, they don't need to worry about that. Oh, come on, Doc. What's wrong with getting a little hard in your arteries? Would you say that to the doctor? No, you'd sound stupid. I mean, well, I've got a heart lady back here. I don't know if she's got a heart, but she's a heart lady. She does a lot in the heart business. She's seen a lot of angiograms probably and a lot of grams and graham crackers and whatever. She's seen a lot. But I'll tell you one thing. I bet she's never heard anybody tell the doctor, that's not a bad thing to have arterial sclerosis. Because the doctor says, son, you better get your house in order because you ain't got much longer. Because you know what? They can't soften them back up. Think about that. Hey, they can reverse a lot of things. They can't reverse that hard artery. And as it gets harder, oh, they can try to sort of abate it, you know, to where it doesn't continue to get harder. But they can't unharden it. When a person rejects Christ, they can't undo it. They've hardened their heart. And each time they do it, it gets worse. Now, how do I know that? You say, Tom, because you're smart and because you've read up on arterial sclerosis. No, I just know what that is. I don't know anything about that. That's just my example. I do know about this. I do know what this book says. I believe this book with every fiber of my being. I believe without this book, I can't live. I believe without this book, I wouldn't know how to live. I believe without this book, I'd sin every day. Because David said, I will hide thy word in my heart so that I won't sin much. No. At all. You didn't say it loud enough.
At all.
Thank you. Let's don't be ashamed in your folks. Shout it out. We don't have to be quiet in here. We don't have to be quiet in here. We've got the best news in the world. We've got the greatest feeling in the world. Why can't we come in here and get a little loud about it? And so he says this, and this is where I left off. You'll remember. But after the hardness and impotent heart. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means just the opposite of what he said in the previous verse. He said, don't you know? Are you not fully aware? That's what the word know means there. Full knowledge. Nothing lacking. Don't you know that the goodness of God does what? That's what it says, isn't it? Well, you think it means that? So what would you do without the goodness of God?
Stay lost.
That's exactly right, brother. I'm glad you finally picked up what I'm putting down. Without the goodness of God, there wouldn't be a saved person in here today. That's why he says, don't you dare think lightly of my goodness, because without it, you're a dead duck. And so he says, but after the hardness and impotent heart, what that means is the unrepentant heart. In other words, that's the heart that took lightly his goodness. The preacher's preached. He's given the altar call. You don't have to come up here to get saved. Let me get that out of the way. Let's understand that. There's no magic up here about getting saved. You'll be saved before you ever get here if you come. That's the deal. But here's the other deal. You don't come. You don't respond. You go out that door. You don't think that's softening your heart, do you? I had something happen to me last week that's happened to me twice in my life. And you have no idea the weight of it. Where God would tell me, if someone leaves today, it's for the last time. You say, Tom, I don't believe that. I don't care whether you believe it or not. Whether you believe it or not, it doesn't make any difference to me. I've had it happen to me twice. This other time was when I filled in for my brother and I spoke on Isaiah 55, come. And I can remember vividly sitting in that church there, broken, weeping, begging for someone not to leave out of here. You see, this is serious. This is not a fun thing. I know we can come in here and have fun, folks. I'm not against laughing. I don't laugh a whole lot. I'm not against social interaction. I'm not much for it, as you all well know. But I'll tell you what I am, I'm convinced it's a serious matter. Because what it says. He says, but after the hardness and impotent heart, treasures up unto thyself goodness. Oh, sorry. I got that wrong. Wrath. Against the and revelation of the here's what that means, folks. That word treasureth up, it means to just keep stacking it up, just keep piling it on. Every time you do it, the stack gets a little higher. The heart gets a little harder. And the key thing is that there's going to be a day of reckoning. And you know what's going to happen, Becky? You're going to reap. For God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. But if you sow to the flesh, if you listen to the flesh, if you reject the call, if you're unrepentant, if you don't want to listen to God, you shall of the flesh reap corruption, destruction, wrath. Who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Well, let's look at that a different way and just sort of simplify it for you. To them that repent, what's he going to give you? Eternal life. That's what you get. Because that's the two, that's the two offerings here, right? There's repentance and no repentance, right? That's the two things. That's where he read up there before, right? He said, goodness of God worked you to repentance, and the hardness in the impotent heart or the unrepentant heart gets wrath, Becky. I'm trying to help you, honey. Oh, mercy. You need to take a lip reading class. You'll start making A's in here. You'll start making A's in here. Now, so he goes on and he says this. But unto them. What does that tell you? Well, that's a different bunch. It's not the same bunch. One bunch gets eternal life. That means in the bunch. Well, praise God, I am. Hallelujah. Well, we'll give the elder a call later and some of the rest of you, bless God, might get it. He says, but unto them that are contentious, unrepentant, hardened, won't believe, refuse to believe, it's foolishness. Oh, that's what the Bible says. Paul says in Corinthians, he says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Unto the Jews a stumbling block. But unto them that believe, it is the wisdom of God and the power of God. Big difference. Big difference in whether you believe God or whether you don't. Not whether you're a churchgoer. You'd be better off not to come to church if you're not going to come to church and hear the Word of God. I'm telling you, you would. Your punishment's going to be worse for you. If you come in here trying to act like you're good and go out being bad, God's going to punish you for it more. He's going to beat you with more stripes. Your heart's going to get harder. You say, well, Tom, why are we inviting people to church? Hopefully they'll hear. Hopefully they'll hear. So he says, unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. I'm going to tell you what else it says in the Bible. It says that the way of the wicked is hard. Thank you. Not only do you have hell to look forward to, isn't that nice? Your life's going to be a mess while you're here. You say, well, I know lost people, that they're having a great life. You don't know their life. God says it's going to be full of anguish. I'm going to go with God. Listen, until you anchor your soul in the haven of rest, you'll have no rest. How do I know that? See, I'm not making this stuff up, am I, Doris? Turn to Hebrews. Everybody knows what Hebrews is about, don't you? That's what I thought. So we'll just turn on over there. Hebrews chapter 3. Now I'm just going to read. Chapter 3, verse 7. Chapter 3 and verse 7. Here's what it says. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith. You thought I was saying this stuff, but it's not me. Listen, you know what my prayer is before I come in this place every Sunday? I don't fail to pray it either. I say, Lord, would you just set me aside? Would you just get rid of me this morning? And would you make me a vessel of honor to be used by the Master? And would you, Holy Spirit of the living God, speak through me for what we need? So he says, what happened? Oh, okay, my page turned, I'm sorry. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says today, if you will hear his voice, whose voice? The Holy Spirit's voice. You say, well, I thought he's a spirit. Well, he got a voice. Bless God, he says he does. Heart, oh, there's that word again. Oh, my goodness. You got children, don't you? Huh?
A lot of them.
I know. Bless your heart. Have you ever said this to them? And if you've not, it's okay if you say no. It's okay. It's not an embarrassment or anything. It was just the way I was raised. If I have to tell you again. Now, you know, you tell them that first time and you're sort of, you know, you're sort of loving them. You know, and you sort of want them to do the right thing. Sometimes they don't.
Listen.
John, I'm talking.
He's trying to help her.
She doesn't. It's her children. That what's John going to tell her? Sometimes they don't listen.
They don't listen. They don't mind.
And the second time you say, if I have to tell you
one more time.
Again. Folks, let me tell you something. It's enough God to tell us once. But he's, remember, he says, don't think lightly of my goodness. It's my goodness that tells you a second time.
Yeah.
Just like it was my goodness that told you the first time.
Uh-huh.
Don't harden your heart. Listen, not only Jesus says that, not only the Father says that, the Holy Spirit says that. Don't harden your heart. Harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation when they tempted me in the wilderness. How had they tempted him? How had they hardened their heart? He said, well, I'll tell you what, do. He said, I want you to send 12 spies over there. I want you to see that gorgeous land I've got for you. And he says, and by the way, you won't have to do anything. I'm going to give it to you. Well, glory. He says, you won't have to fight. You won't have to do nothing. I'm going to give it to you. Send 12 spies over there and come back and tell these people how good it is. Well, they went over. Stayed how many days? Thank you. They stayed 40 days. And they come back and they said, you're right, God. It's, man, is this not a place? I tell you what, these grapes over there, you could put on a man's head. I mean, they are big grapes. You'd have to carry them with sticks to get them back over here, a cluster. You couldn't even carry it by yourself. No, two of them said that. 10 of them said this. We be in their sight as... What did they do, honey? They wouldn't listen. They hardened their heart against what God told them. God says, but it's the same thing in salvation, folks, if you think about it. God says, look, I've got this place for you. Oh, please pick this up. I've got this place for you. And you won't have to do a thing. I'm going to do all the fighting to get you there. I'm going to get up on that cross. Oh, Lord, this is good. I'm going to fight that battle that you can't fight. I'm going to make it possible for you to get to this place where you can't go without me. But you're going to have to. You're going to have to believe me. Listen, did God die on the cross? Did he die for everybody in this world? Did he pay the sin for everybody in this world? Did he take on the sin of everybody in this world, before, present, and after? What's the one thing that's required to apply it? Got to believe him. But if you don't believe him, you do what? Thank you, honey. I knew you'd get it. If you don't believe him, you're hardening your heart. You can be a churchgoer. And be a churchgoer going to hell. Or you can be a churchgoer going to heaven. It'll have nothing to do with your church going. It'll have everything to do with on an old rugged cross. That's what it's got to do. So he says this. He says, harden not your heart. So he says, I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Why? You say, Tom, because you skipped verse 10. See, you can't just skip verse 10 because then verse 11 won't mean a whole lot to you, would it? So here's what it says. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they're not going. You know what they did? They died in the wilderness. They never saw that land of milk and honey. And I'm going to tell you right now, and I don't give one rip whether anybody likes it or not. If you don't believe God, you'll never see that land that he's prepared for us. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place. What does that mean? I go to prepare a place. What does that mean? Well, no. I go to prepare a place. Well, I'm going to try to help y'all out. So you'll try to remember this so you'll know it the next time. Had he died yet when he told them this? He was still alive with them, hadn't he? They were down because he'd said, I'm going away. And he said, now look, don't get down. It's needful that I go away. I got to go away. Why? I got to go prepare a place. Do you think that meant he went up there to prepare heaven? No, bless God. Do you think that meant he went up there to make sure there were streets of gold and walls of jasper and gates of pearl? Well, no. What he's saying is, if I don't die and pay the sin debt, you can't go. I'll have to go prepare the way. But I'm going. Hey, let not your heart be troubled. I'm going to fix this for you. I'm going to make sure not only you can go, honey, if you teach them precious little children, I'll take them too. I'll take whoever you tell. And they believe you. If they believe the gospel that you give them, I'll take them too. I'll prepare it for them. But it's not prepared for those who don't believe. I go to prepare a place. And if I go and prepare it, and I'm going to, don't you worry, he says, then I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be. Listen, if you don't want to be with him, bless God, I can't help you. I do. I do. I want to be in that place. I know, look, I know I'm alive here. I know I'm in the body here. But I got to tell you, folks, it wouldn't bother me one bit if I wasn't in the body tomorrow. So if tomorrow you hear the news and you say, oh, no, did you hear about Tom? Say, well, glory, he's there now. Huh? Listen, I'll tell you this. My brother said he preached last week or week before, I don't remember, but he preached. And after the service, this lady came up to him, and she said, preacher, does it scare you that the Lord's coming? She says, it scares me. And all these things are going to happen. It scares me. And he said, Tom, I was still in the spirit from preaching. And he says, you know what I said to her? Honey, you need to examine yourself that you be in the faith. This book says we're not given the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Bless God, if you're afraid of Jesus coming, you better get right. Huh? You say, Tom, well, what? Look, if the Holy Spirit's inside you, you surely don't think you're going to be afraid of him coming. I'll tell you what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of those who don't believe he's coming. That scares me. Oh, where did I get that? Well, I got it right over here in this next chapter, and I got to quit. Here's what it says. And to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest? Now, he's still talking about the wilderness, right? Still talking about the wilderness and about Israelites, right? Say right. Okay, because I'm right, and I wouldn't lead you wrong. But to them that's in verse 18, by the way, of the chapter we're in. But unto them that believe not. You didn't believe me when I said there is a land that floweth with milk and honey, and I'm giving it to you. Just go on over there and take it. It's yours. You didn't believe me. Therefore, you didn't get to go. And he says, to whom didn't get to go? So we see that they could not enter in because of listen, if the one thing that'll keep you out of heaven is not believing God. Let us, now he's back to the present. Let us, therefore, be extremely frightened. How many of you have ever been extremely frightened? Well, I have. I can remember, and I've told you, and I'll be very brief. I remember the first firefight I got in Vietnam. I never will forget it. We were going up Highway 1. We had security for Highway 1. I haven't been there but just maybe a couple of weeks. And all of a sudden, we hit an ambush, and I mean bullets were flying everywhere. Everybody was running, jumping, and I lost my helmet. I jumped over this bank, and bullets were flying everywhere, and my knees were just like, I mean, I was scared to death. But I had to have my helmet, so I go crawling back out there on that road. You say, brother, how'd they not get you? You know how. I had a little mom and daddy. Back here praying for that boy. Yeah. They didn't know he's crawling out there in that road to get that helmet. God did. I got my helmet back on. I got back over that bank, and I was what was called a rifleman. Now, y'all hear this thing about military weapons and all that, you know, and how they want to ban military weapons. Well, listen, that's hogwash. They're not military weapons. I carried a military weapon. I know about military weapons. You've got a little switch on the side, and it'll go automatic. Bless God, you hold that thing down, and it'll empty that clip in about 1 second. Well, you can't do that. These other guns, they're banned. Automatic weapons are banned. So don't listen to all that, but I'm back on to my point now. So I'm over there, and I'm just going like this because I'm scared. Hey, I'd shoot anybody. I didn't care. I'd shoot anything. I didn't care. And from that time on, if somebody got wounded, I ran up and I grabbed their ammo. I look like a, and I don't mean this disparagingly, I look like one of them Mexican bandits that you see on TV with those bandoliers. Oh, I had ammo all over me. I had hand grenades hanging on me. And when I got wounded, I'm laying out there, and I'm thinking that, I'm telling you the truth. Now, I'm talking about fright, folks. I'm laying out there, and I'm thinking this is it. It's all over for me. I said, I'll take somebody with me. So I started ripping those hand grenades, and I was throwing them everywhere. And then this big old black boy ran out of this building and risked his own life. So next time they call me a racist, I'd like for them to say it to my face. He ran out there, and he grabbed a hold of the back of my collar, and he dragged me at his own peril back into that building. That's what soldiers are about, folks. But my point is, I was scared to death. Well, that's nothing. That's nothing of standing before Almighty God without his son. If you don't believe me, you just ask Belshazzar. You ask him about his knees knocking when the finger come up and said, thou art weighed in the balance, and you come up short. That's what second chapter of Romans is about. The churchgoers thinking they're okay because they're churchgoers. They're morally higher than everybody. They're good people. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, good people go to hell. Bad people go to heaven. Think about it. Good people go to hell. Bad people go to heaven because bad people realize they're bad. And then they repent. Now we're back to where we started. And when you repent, guess what happens to your badness? Though your sins be as scarlet, I shall make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson. What that means is ugliness. If you don't see your sin ugly, you're not seeing it. He says, though they be red like crimson, I will make them like wool. Isn't that wonderful?